This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Kathy Tuttle, spokespeople, founder, and director of Seattle Neighborhood Greenways, a volunteer coalition to plan and advocate for healthy streets connecting us to the places we use. Kathy Tuttle is here today to tell us about Seattle's Neighborhood Greenways, dedicated residential streets where bicycles, pedestrians, and neighbors' safety are given priority. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you, Diane.
What are Neighborhood Greenways and what is their purpose?
Well, Neighborhood Greenways are safe, healthy, residential streets. They're great for children walking to school, for people of all ages who want to have a healthy and a safe way to get around town. They connect people to the places they want to go, to schools, to parks, to local business districts, and they're a new way to re-envision streets for people.
Why was the Seattle Neighborhood Greenways Coalition formed, and what is your history?
We were formed as a coalition just a year ago. It came out of actually three groups getting together who had independently come to the idea of greenways. Beacon Bikes, and Bikes stands for Better Infrastructure, Keeping Everyone Safe, Seattle Children's Hospital, and Wallingford Greenways. All three of us had greenway projects that were a little bit stalled, and we decided in order to move it forward that we would form a coalition. Since then, we've assembled a coalition of 19 different community groups who are all advocating for safe, healthy streets in their own neighborhoods. We're also partnering with a number of organizations. Our fiscal sponsor, our umbrella, is the Seattle Parks Foundation. So if you want to donate to Greenways, you can. We're also working with the Seattle Department of Transportation in many ways, particularly with their Seattle Traffic Safety Action Plan. It's important to recognize that Greenways is not a single group, but in fact is a coalition of many groups working together. We're all interested in making streets healthy and safe for people.
What are the goals of Seattle Neighborhood Greenways?
Well, the overall goal is to have a linked network of these safe, healthy streets all over Seattle, within about a quarter mile of where people live, that keeps people safe and that allows people to have a safe way to walk, to cross the street, that reduces speeds on residential streets, minimizes cut-through traffic on local streets, and helps people cross busy streets, and provides that safe, convenient access to schools, parks, and local businesses.
Would you say more about who is involved in Seattle Neighborhood Greenways?
Well, I can list the groups. In fact, I wrote them all down since 19 is a hard number of groups to keep in mind. And the people themselves who are involved in it are often people who are parents who are concerned about their children getting to school. They are local community activists, local business owners, people who really want to have safe, healthy streets, helping people get around. But the communities who are involved are Ballard Greenways, Beacon Bikes, who I mentioned, Central Greenways, Seattle Children's Hospital. I'm reading these alphabetically. Eastlake Greenways, Fremont Greenways, Green Lake Greenways, Lake City, Madison, Maple Leaf, Montlake, Northeast Seattle, Greenwood Finney, Queen Anne, Rainier Valley, University District, Wallingford, and West Seattle. That's quite a list. In fact, it covers about 60% of the area of Seattle where people are working on crowdsourced mapping that identifies these streets that could conceivably get people around in a safe way.
Would you like to describe the key elements of a greenway?
Greenways are one street off of main arterials. That means they're generally on residential streets. The idea is to reduce speeds on those residential streets, the speed of traffic, the speed of people driving cars, and to minimize cut-through traffic on local streets and ensure very safe crossings of busy streets. The way greenways are implemented is by slowing traffic on those residential streets by use of different kinds of traffic calming measures, speed, very gradual speed humps, stop signs, signals, things that cause people to drive a lot slower and to take the residential streets more seriously and be more attentive on those residential streets, to empathize with people when they're on those streets and to behave in a very responsible way as they're driving on them. Of course, this appeals to people who are walking with their kids to school. Of course, this appeals to senior citizens who are trying to cross the street in a reasonable way. So that's how our coalition has grown so rapidly, so quickly, is that people see the value of having these streets for people.
Would you say more about the advantages to a neighborhood of having a greenway?
Well, the other aspect of greenways is not just that the street itself is moving at a slower speed, but it builds community because people are comfortable walking and being on their street. Neighbors start to interact with each other more. In the case of other communities around America who've implemented greenways, public art, public places have grown up on their greenways. And the other thing that we're very interested in implementing on Seattle greenways is actually making them green, putting green stormwater infrastructure, trees, things that make the street green more pleasant as a public space, as a human environment.
Would you give now a specific example of a neighborhood greenway that has been completed and what it looks like?
Well, the very first greenway that is still, I would say, a little bit of a work in progress is the Wallingford Greenway. It officially opened in June of 2012. It is the first mile of the Seattle Greenway system. It still lacks a little bit of what is called traffic calming features, which is a way to keep people at a safe speed and also to prioritize people who are walking and biking on the street with stop signs. But that is the first mile of what is conceivably going to be more than 100-mile system of greenways around Seattle that link the entire city together.
Are there other neighborhood greenways that have been put into place?
Not in Seattle. There are several in progress. Seattle Children's Hospital, again, one of our initial partners, Beacon Bikes or Beacon Hill, both of those have projects that are in the process of being implemented. Beacon Bikes has put in 400 street trees as part of their greenway process. Seattle Children's Hospital is building a whole network of street improvements around Children's Hospital in the Bryant-Laurelhurst neighborhood that includes traffic calming along those streets to encourage the people who work at Children's Hospital to not drive but to bike or walk to work.
What has been the response of residents in Wallingford to their greenway?
I have seen definitely an upturn of children walking to school on the greenway. We've done actually some initial traffic counts before and after the greenway was put into place, but more children walking to school, more people using it to bike. But it's remained a nice, quiet street. I mean, that's part of the whole process of a greenway improvement is to maintain the street at the current level of use. It's a quiet way to go from one side east-west, it goes between I-5 and Stoneway in Wallingford, to go that 1 mile in a safe, quiet, healthy environment between those two points. So people choose that when they don't want to be on the busy arterial that's just one block to the north.
What is your view as to how the greenway in Wallingford has turned out?
I think it's a great beginning of a greenway. Again, there's a lot that still needs to be done. One of the most important things is to connect it to other greenways. It's, again, a 1 mile segment that goes east-west. Oh, Wallingford, as all 19 of these neighborhoods, has a complete vision of what a neighborhood greenway system would look like. So this is 1 mile in what will ultimately be a very large community-wide and city-wide system. The other thing that the Wallingford Greenway still needs to improve is prioritizing people crossing the street, whether they're on a bike or children walking to school. There need to be stop signs, yield signs, something to allow that free movement along the greenway.
Do you have any anecdotal stories from people who have used the greenways and what it's been like for them?
Certainly we have anecdotal stories from our own neighborhood where people have chosen to take their children. There's a woman, Maddie, whose child just started John Stanford International School, who's decided to start a bike train to school. So she's going to collect children along the greenway and bike with them to John Stanford International School. Her own son is in kindergarten and she has a toddler as well. So they all ride on the bikes together along the greenway and then down to John Stanford International School, which I think is really sweet. We recently took 30 people from Seattle Neighborhood Greenways to the city of Portland to do a study tour for a weekend, and they were blown away, I guess is the right term. Many of them who had not ridden on the neighborhood greenway system there remarked on how much they had forgotten, how free, how liberating it feels to be on a system where you don't have to be worried about biking or walking across the street, how good it feels to suddenly have streets dedicated to people.
Any more stories?
More stories. I guess the most exciting thing is just meeting people on my own greenway. I live in Wallingford, and I ran into a woman the other day who was on her bicycle, and she just said, "Look, I'm on my bike. I'm actually going to yoga class by bike. You know, I usually drive." And she says, "And it always seems very silly to me to be driving, but I'm able to go this 1 mile on the greenway to my yoga class, and it just feels so good."
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Kathy Tuttle, director of Seattle Neighborhood Greenways, a volunteer coalition to plan and advocate for healthy streets connecting us to the places we use. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. What have been the objections to greenways?
The most serious objections to greenways have come from people who don't quite understand what a greenway is yet. When people understand that we're reducing traffic speed on residential streets, suddenly the people who live on those streets say, "Hey, that makes some sense. We don't like zoom through traffic on our streets." The other objections to greenways, well, in fact, there haven't been. This is one of the reasons that we've grown from 3 organizations to 19 organizations in a year. People see the value of having safe, healthy streets in their neighborhood. People want to be able to get across streets safely with their children, with their parents. They want to be able to get across the streets by bike, by walking, and by driving. It turns out that greenways in other cities where they've been implemented in a large way have reduced traffic deaths and serious injuries by a great amount, not just for people who walk and bike, but for people who drive. It changes the tenor. It changes the experience of using streets. They become a place where people empathize with each other, and it becomes a more safe and healthy urban environment.
To what extent will parking be removed when greenways are put in?
That is something that people are concerned about in neighborhoods, and it turns out that parking remains on most greenways. There is a perception that if you're making a street for people, you're going to take away parked cars. But parking is actually a way of calming a street, making it slower. You put the cars in the street to make a street a little bit narrower. So parking, for the most part, remains on greenways.
What have been some of the key challenges in developing greenways?
The challenges are it's such a large system that we have in our minds. You know, we want to link the entire city of Seattle. We want to identify and advocate and activate all of these streets around the city of Seattle. And it's a big vision, and it's a big vision to communicate to the rest of the community. That, I would say, is one of the biggest challenges. We're communicating that to the Seattle Department of Transportation. We're communicating it to the community at large, of course, to politicians. And it's been a message that's well received, but it does take a lot of effort to communicate such a large vision of what a safe, healthy street is.
How much do greenways cost to install?
One of the things that we really like about greenways is that they are very inexpensive to install. What you're doing is calming a street by using a speed hump, not those little speed bumps that you often see in Fred Meyer's or something that are kind of really jarring on your car, but a low hump that causes you to pay attention on a street. That's a very inexpensive fix. Some stop signs, some directional signs. Those things are very inexpensive things to put in place to make a street calmer, safer, slower, more healthy. The real expense comes when a greenway meets an arterial, commercial street. Then you have to get across the street and continue it on the other side. That's where the real cost of greenways comes in. It's those traffic signals, traffic islands to allow people a refuge when they're crossing the street. Those things do tend to be very expensive. So traffic signals started $150,000, traffic islands at about $50,000. Those are real dollars, and those are important for people who want to get across the street, and we feel they're a critical part of a greenway system.
How much did the Wallingford Greenway cost?
It cost probably about $100,000, and that includes one of those traffic islands in Stoneway, and that was the major part of the improvement process. There was also some concrete work. Anytime you touch concrete, it turns out it's a very expensive thing to do. There was also some concrete work where some tree roots had buckled part of the street itself, and the street was so badly damaged they had to be replaced.
What is the source of funding for greenways?
So far, for the most part, although the Wallingford Greenway was paid for by a street improvement fund, Most greenways are receiving their funding through something called Bridging the Gap, which is a levy that expires in 2015. And most of the Bridging the Gap money has gone into seismic upgrades for bridges or repaving arterials, but a very small portion of it has gone into something called active transportation, which includes pedestrian projects and bicycle projects. So since the greenways fit into both a pedestrian and bicycle form, they receive Bridging the Gap funding. So last year, the Seattle Greenways Coalition submitted 5 neighborhoods for Bridging the Gap funding: Ballard, Beacon, Del Ridge, West Seattle, Greenwood, Finney, and U District. So those 5 neighborhoods. And we received funding for Ballard, Beacon, and Del Ridge. And so those are the projects that received money for 2012. And we'll again submit our top priorities to the Bridging the Gap Fund this year.
What is the process to establish a greenway in your neighborhood?
Well, since there are 19 neighborhood groups now, I think the best thing to do if people are listening to this is to go on our website, seattlegreenways.org, and find, there's a nice clicky interactive map where you can find your neighborhood. If your neighborhood isn't covered by something that's already mapped out on our map, start a group. Get in touch with us. Get in touch with the neighboring group and start working, as all of these other groups are doing, on creating a crowdsourced map and reaching out to your neighbors, to your PTSAs, your business districts, your local community organizations, and find a way to explain this idea of safe, healthy streets.
Would you say more about the resources available for neighborhoods who are installing greenways or would like to install one?
You can look at resources in 2 ways. One is the information, one is the money. The information that's available, we have a huge amount of information available on our website about starting a community group, about crowdsource mapping. It's a large organization now that can offer kind of peer-to-peer mentoring. As far as money is concerned, there are low-cost improvements, so there is money, some money available within the city through the Bridging the Gap levy. We're also reaching out and trying to find other funding sources through the Department of Neighborhoods, through green stormwater infrastructure, through all sorts of other areas that provide funding for safe, healthy neighborhoods.
How would you evaluate the progress of the Seattle Neighborhood Greenways so far?
Well, the Seattle Neighborhood Greenways organization has taken off in a way that no other community group that I've ever been associated with has done. I mean, it's something that really resonates very deeply with people. They understand that they want to have their streets, their residential streets that are close to commercial districts. They want those places to be safe for people. They want to be able to get around the city by walking and biking in a very safe way. And they want their children to be able to do so. And they want their elderly relatives and friends to be able to do so. Right now, we don't have streets that prioritize people in the same way that greenways do. I think we've had just a tremendous amount of success.
What has been the experience of other U.S. cities and neighborhood greenways?
Well, part of the inspiration for Seattle Neighborhood Greenways is, in fact, that there are several other cities, particularly on the West Coast, who've developed greenway systems. Most relevantly and closest to us are Portland Greenways. They have a system of over 100 miles of greenways in place and plan to have close to 200 miles of greenways implemented by 2015. Vancouver, BC has also done a similar kind of ambitious plan, linking their system up that way. But many cities along the West Coast have done greenway improvements that knit the city together in this way. And also internationally, greenways are part of this whole movement of safe streets for people. There are 2 movements. One is called the 8 to 80 movement that started in South America. And then there's this whole idea of all ages active, AAA rating of streets that are safe for people who choose to walk and bike. We're trying to implement some of those 8 to 80 all ages active standards in our bicycle master plan and in many of our new transportation decisions that we'll be making in Seattle over the next few years.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Kathy Tuttle, Director of Seattle Neighborhood Greenways, a volunteer coalition to plan and advocate for healthy streets, connecting us to the places we use. So how does your work relate to the Bicycle Master Plan?
So the Bicycle Master Plan was written in 2007, and it's being updated now. And we're, of course, very involved in the bicycle master plan updates, as we will be with the pedestrian master plan updates and the tree updates that are happening to the tree management plan. And the thing that we're most concerned with the bicycle master plan is safety and perceived safety and comfort. We really want to encourage the 60 or 70% of the population who's very interested in biking but feels a little unsafe biking. We want to make sure that they feel comfortable on something like a greenway system. It's been proven in many cities that this is a way to encourage people to bike, as if they feel comfortable.
You've been involved in 350.org, a climate change organization. Would you like to say a few words about how greenways relate to climate change work?
Well, a lot of the work I do as a community activist is connected to climate. Certainly, greenways falls very squarely in that category. Active transportation, where you're encouraging all ages of people to be active, whether they're 8 years old or 80 years old, is something that will help our climate. Not only are you encouraging people to walk and bike and exercise, which are very climate friendly, but you're encouraging them to build community, to talk to each other. And that is in itself a climate action.
What are the plans of Seattle Neighborhood Greenways over the next year?
Over the next year, again, what we're doing with these 19 groups is crowdsourced mapping. We've almost completed that project within the 19 groups. We want to expand, of course, to the whole city, but we want to take the maps that we've developed through the crowd, that is, people who have already identified streets that are safer for getting around their neighborhoods, and develop it into a map that is available to people in the city at large. We're working on a couple of campaigns. One is Safe Routes to Transit. One is Greenways Go to School. And then another thing that we've been putting a lot of attention into and will continue to is Greenways for All Communities. We want to make sure that neighborhoods who need a little help are getting the mentoring support that they need. Rainier Valley Greenways started about 2 months ago. We're supporting Lake City Greenways. We're working with Delridge. We're working with communities that need that little bit of extra community help that we can offer as an organization.
Would you say more about the neighborhood groups and what they are doing?
Well, obviously, each of the neighborhood groups is working on crowdsourced mapping of the safest routes. Some of the groups have gone a little bit further. Central Greenways, for example, is leading the charge with Montlake Greenways, Northeast Seattle, University Greenways, Madison Greenways, on a Portage Bay Bridge Trail that they're advocating for as part of the 520 Bridge Improvement Project. Ballard Greenways, you may have heard a little bit about too. That project was delayed for 2012. It will go ahead in 2013. During this delay, we're hoping that we can kind of up the number of miles to actually make a whole system within Ballard that is a linked network instead of just doing one linear mile as was done in Wallingford. We actually are talking about a linked system within Ballard so that people can actually get a sense in Ballard that there is a network, that greenways can be a network that connects a whole neighborhood. We're hoping to also do this in the South End so that people in the North End and the South End of Seattle can get a sense of a linked network of greenways so that they suddenly understand these really can connect streets and connect people.
And what is your long-term vision for Seattle Greenways?
Well, again, we're here to identify, that's this crowdsourced mapping, advocate for, and then ultimately activate a set of greenways for people who are walking and biking and who are building community organizations within their own groups. We want to have that linked network in place by 2022. That's extremely ambitious, but we believe it's possible because greenways are a low-cost alternative to making safe, healthy streets. So we would like that linked network within a quarter mile of most people who live and work in Seattle.
Do you have any thoughts about how the greenways might change over time in terms of even more upgrades to make it safe for neighbors and pedestrians and cyclists?
Well, we've been observing our cities to the north and south, Vancouver, BC, and Portland, and they've started their greenway implementation projects about 10 years ago. So we've observed how those greenways have been modified. People have implemented, actually in Oregon recently, a 20-mile-per-hour residential speed zone, which I think is very important and is in the Washington state legislature this year up for approval. That will help us lower the speed on residential streets generally, but in greenways in particular. The other thing that's happened on a lot of greenways in both Portland and Vancouver is a lot more green infrastructure, green stormwater infrastructure, street trees, public art, and public places. Streets have become literally places for people. People have invested themselves in their streets because they can reclaim them once they're able to feel safe walking and biking on them.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
It is possible to re-envision safe, healthy streets for people. We really need to connect our city. We believe that there is a way to provide safe and convenient access to schools, to parks, to local businesses, to the places that you want to go with something like greenways. There is a way to encourage people to take their streets and return them to the community.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Kathy.
Thank you, Diane.
You have just been listening to Kathy Tuttle, Director of Seattle Neighborhood Greenways. For more information, check on the web at seattlegreenways.org. Again, that's seattlegreenways.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on Demand, and then Podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and kexp.org.